Chapter 8. Draco dreams of making love to Potter. Their magic wraps about their naked bodies like intricate needlework. It sews them together, threading them through with glowing strands of red and green. Potter is radiant in the eerie glow, eyes flashing, mouth open, staring up at Draco like he can see him. It makes Draco breathless, racks his body with desire, even though Draco knows he's dreaming. Knows none of this is real, none of it is possible. Potter arches beneath him, the red filaments of his magic pierce Draco's flesh, and on a moan, his own green strands work their way beneath Potter's skin. "More," whispers Harry, and Draco wakes. The room is indeed aglow. Potter's magic, thin and red, is tangled about him like a loose spool of thread. It's most concentrated around Potter, sewing its way in and out of his body, but a few loose ends have made it into Draco, too. Weaving down his right arm, wrapping about his wrist, piercing through his palm in a complex cross-stitch. The threads are tugging, burning. They're burning through Draco. "Potter," he gasps, sitting up as much as the strands of magic allow him. "Potter, wake up!" With a violent gasp, Potter sits up, rimrod straight, eyes open. The magic snaps out of existence. Draco looks down at his palm, expecting to see puncture wounds, blood. But there's nothing.
"It won't hurt you," Potter croaks. "It can't hurt you. I have it under control. I promise.
You're fine. Potter, you're fine. It's fine." Potter begins to hyperventilate, and Draco moves towards him, grabbing him by the shoulders. "Breathe, Potter. You're all right. I promise." Abruptly, Draco realizes that he's still half-hard and straddling Potter. Potter must realize it too, because he freezes, staring up at Draco, green eyes wide and unblinking. And it's Potter, the same Potter he hasn't stopped thinking about for months now, the one who's been haunting his home and his mind with his stupid hair and his eyes and his sad little smile. The same Potter he's always been, exactly the same and somehow deeply different. Draco inhales. It's a mistake. Potter smells like mint and pine needles, and it makes Draco dizzy and breathless, makes him stupid with want. Potter licks his lips, and a wave of need careens through Draco. His fingers dig into Potter's shoulders reflexively. He leans closer. "Malfoy," Potter breathes, snapping Draco back to reality.
"Shit,"
Draco hisses, scrambling off. "Shit, sorry." He's almost off the bed when Potter grabs his wrist.
"Don't go."
Draco shudders. Pausing with his back towards the man, he rubs his palms over his face, tries to get his body and mind under some kind of control.
"I want," Potter whispers.
Draco looks over his shoulder. Potter has gotten up, onto his knees, and he's sitting there, disheveled and devastatingly beautiful, surrounded by the bed covers. Wearing... "Potter, is that my pajama top?" There's a knock on the window, and both of them jump. Potter gives a little laugh.
"It's just an owl," he says.
"Do I need to take you shopping, Potter?" asks Draco, rising from the bed and going towards the window to let the owl in.
"No."
The owl swoops around them and lands primly on Draco's shoulder, offering him a letter.
"So you're just planning on wearing my things?"
"You don't mind?" Draco looks up at Potter, letter in hand.
"No, I suppose I don't."
He reads, "Dear Mr. Malfoy, we regret to inform you that there has been another accident at Plymouth Port. Please contact us immediately to discuss further action regarding your shipments. Our sincerest apologies, Plymouth Port Management and Team."
"Well, shit," says Draco, folding the letter away and glancing up at Potter.
"What is it?"
"Another accident at the port. I need to go assess the damage."
"Take me with you," says Potter.
"What?
No way. You haven't eaten in 24 hours. You need to eat, not portakey around England."
"I'll eat now while you get ready. You need to make yourself presentable anyway. That's more than enough time."
"Potter," Draco starts, planning to say no, but there's something so vulnerable in Potter that he can't quite make himself do it. And anyway, Draco still feels like there's fire running under his skin. He needs a cool shower before he'll be able to face the idiots running the port. "Fine," he says. "Go eat. I'll meet you at the front door in 15 minutes." Potter nods and scrambles out of bed, running from the room barefoot, dressed in Draco's pajamas, grinning at him over his shoulder. The door slams closed behind him, and Draco folds himself into a crouch, head dropping between his knees as he tries to calm himself. He's reading too much into it. He knows he's reading too much into it, and he can't help himself. Can't help but imagine Potter downstairs now, licking tomato sauce off his finger as he eyes Draco playfully, imagines him beckoning Draco closer, letting Draco crowd him up against the counter, lift him up onto it. And how Potter would wrap his legs around Draco's waist, pulling him in, kissing him, telling him it's real, real. Draco gets to his feet. No matter how much he wants it, no matter how much he wants Potter, he wants real more. And even if Draco isn't imagining things, even if the tension is there, even if it's mutual, it most definitely isn't real. Because Potter is a mess. He's depressed and desperate, and that can make anyone mistake gratitude for attraction. Draco knows this deeply and personally. He can still remember the strange and desperate crush he'd formed on Snape back when the man had saved him from becoming a murderer. But Draco had been lucky because Snape understood the power of fear and gratitude, and he'd turned down Draco's fumbling advances with a soft firmness. And he's so grateful for it, so grateful to Snape for being the mature adult, for protecting him so thoroughly, even from himself. And that is what Draco needs to do, protect Potter from Draco's dark little desires. Because Draco wants real, even though he doesn't deserve it, and Potter deserves real even if he doesn't want it. Draco takes a very long shower. Potter is waiting for him at the front door when Draco finally makes his way down the stairs. He's wearing one of Draco's white cashmere sweaters. It's far too large on him, but it also looks soft and endearing, so Draco doesn't say anything about it. "Ready?" he asks, and Potter nods. "We'll apparate to Diagon Alley and get a portakey down to Plymouth." "I can apparate us," Potter says. "It's too far," says Draco. "It'll exhaust you." "It'll be good for me to use up some of the excess magic." Draco raises an eyebrow, but nods, following Potter down the path to the manor gates. "You're sure?" "You could apparate us too," Potter responds, "if you wanted to." "I don't," says Draco, stomach twisting just at the thought. "Exactly." "Will this keep you from doing the thing you did while you were sleeping?" "No," says Potter, trying to sound nonchalant and failing. "That just happens sometimes." "Sometimes, like when you're depressed and..." "I am not depressed," snaps Potter, scowling. "Right," says Draco, just as Potter wraps a hand around his upper arm and they flicker out of existence. They snap back into reality and Potter gasps. Draco grabs his arm, pulls him closer. Around them, everything is aflame. The entire port, the buildings surrounding them, the ships anchored in neat rows. Men and women are running around in panic, trying to control the spreading flames. And there, up ahead, in the mouth of the marina, the enormous barge marked Malfoy Enterprises stands with all of its crates of cargo engulfed in a violent orange fire. As they stare, Draco sees someone jump from the side of his barge and into the icy water of the English Channel. "My men!" Draco says, lurching in the direction of the barge. "No!" says Potter, clutching at him. "You can't go!" "Let go of me, Potter, and wait here." "You can't go up there," says Potter. "You'll burn." Draco stares down at Potter, momentarily dazed. Then his brain kicks in, and he extracts himself from Potter's grip. "My men are up there. Most of them are squibs. I'm responsible for them, I need to get them off the barge. Let go of me. The fire. I'm well aware of the fire.
Crabbe!
Draco tugs his arm free, pulling his wand out of his pocket, and apparates.